Thank you, Justin. Hey guys, I'm so excited that each and every one of you have decided to commit to Grow Track 2. I'm so excited that you're here. There's a scripture that we're going to share with you tonight. We're sharing it in every single Grow Track that we just believe is going to set the tone for this semester. And so I really want you guys to listen up. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 John 2. If you have it, your physical Bible, or if you have it on your phone, I'm going to be reading out of the Amplified Classic version. So if you want to write that down, AMPC, you can grab it on your phone right now or look it up later. I encourage you guys to read this scripture in this version. It's so incredible what John writes here. 1 John chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 3. And this is how we may discern daily by experience that we are coming to know him. So John's about to tell us how we can know if we're getting closer to God, how we can know if we're drawing closer to Jesus, which is why we're all here, right? That's what Justin just established. We're here because we want to go deeper. But to know isn't just, it's not just knowing who someone is. We're not just talking about just knowing who God is or knowing a whole lot about him. The Amplified says to know him means to perceive, to recognize, understand, and become better acquainted with him. So how can we know if we're accomplishing this in our lives? If we keep, bear in mind, observe, practice his teachings, his precepts, his commandments. So how are we going to know if we're drawing closer to God, if our relationship with him is going deeper, if we're growing in him? It's if we are keeping and we're living out his teachings in our everyday lives. Verse 5 says, but he who keeps and treasures his word, who bears in mind his precepts, who observes his message in its entirety, truly in him has the love of and for God been perfected, completed, and reached maturity. By this we perceive, know, recognize, and we can be sure that we are in him. So guys, it's not about just gathering up a whole lot of knowledge, because let me tell you, you can go through Grow Track 1 and Grow Track 2 and Grow Track 3, and you can get a whole lot of information about God and the Bible, and you can store it all up, and you can know it all, and you can quote it all, and that would be great. And someone would think, wow, look at that person. They're a dictionary of information about the Bible and about God. But it's when that information becomes a treasure in our hearts. It's not just a bunch of rules and regulations, and this is what I need to do, and this is what's going to make me right, and this is my ticket to heaven. But it's when that becomes a treasure in my heart, that it is my greatest pleasure and desire to live out these principles, to live out the teachings of God's word, to live out those precepts and commandments that we read about in the Bible. Verse 6 says, whoever says he abides in him ought as a personal debt. What does debt mean? What is a debt? Something that we owe? Tell me a little bit more about a debt. Is it something like, I owe, but I could do it or not do it. I could pay it or not pay it. No, it's what? What did I hear? Necessary. Tell me something else about a debt. We're tied to it. What was that? It's an obligation. You're tied to that debt until it's paid. And so this is saying, he's saying as a personal debt, that I'm making the choice to tie myself to him until he's done with me. And how many of you know when he's done with us? When we see him face to face and are worshiping him forever and eternity. So whoever says he abides in him ought as a personal debt to walk and conduct himself in the same way in which he walked and conducted himself. Wow. I want to read it in the Message version as well. And I love the way that the Message words things in ways that it just can make so much sense to us in our language today. Same scripture, 1 John 2, verse 4 through 6 in the Message. If someone claims, I know him well, but doesn't keep his commandments, he's obviously a liar. Wow. Pretty strong words. His life doesn't match his words. But the one who keeps God's word is the person in whom we see God's mature love. Does anybody in here want God's mature love to be evident in them? I know I do. This is the only way to be sure we're in God. And I want you guys to hear this last sentence. It sums up everything that we're saying. Anyone who claims to be intimate with God ought to live the same kind of life Jesus lived. Anyone who claims to be intimate with God ought to live the same kind of life Jesus lived. Let me tell you, and I probably don't even have to tell you, that there are a lot of people who grew up in church or who went to church or who go to church all the time who claim to be intimate with God. They say, I know him well, but their lives are nothing like him. There are Christians, people who believe in God, people who are going to heaven, who claim to know him well, and they can talk it all up, and they can tell you a bunch of scriptures, and they can tell you things that are true about God, but their lives don't look anything like what we see in his word. And so my prayer is that every one of you who desire to be intimate with God will live lives like Jesus lived. And so maybe you've been walking with God for a long time. Maybe you've been serving him. You've been faithful to him. But no matter how long we've been serving him, just like Justin said, God has a whole other level for you. He always has more for us. There's always more that we can get from him, more that we can do for him, more that he wants to do in us so that we can be more like him. Or maybe you hear that scripture and you realize that you are, maybe you're obviously a liar. I didn't call you a liar. The Bible just did, if your life doesn't match up. And that's okay, because we can change it starting right now. So wherever you fall on that spectrum, my prayer is that by the end of this 12 weeks, you look completely different than you look right now. No matter where you are on the spectrum, if you've been serving God for 50 plus years, if you have been serving God since you were born, basically, if you grew up in church, whatever, I hope that at the end of this 12 weeks, you look completely different than you look today. Does anybody else want to see that? Let me tell you guys, grow two is that whole other level. Grow two is about learning to be intimate with God. And grow one, you got these foundational pieces that are so crucial. You need that foundation because we're going to build on it. We're going to test the strength of that foundation. How many of you know if a house is built on a foundation that's weak, stuff's going to be wrong in that house? We're going to build on that foundation. You need every single piece of information you got in grow one. Now we're going to build on it. We're going to put some stuff on it. We're going to challenge. There's going to be some heavy things that you're going to hear in grow track two, but it is going to help you become more intimate with God, to know him more, and learn how to live like Jesus lived. Can I pray for you guys? Dear God, I just thank you so much for this group of students. Lord, and even any who may not be here tonight but are going to get involved in the next couple of weeks and make the commitment to Grow Tech 2 this semester. God, I pray that you would help them in this moment right now to make a commitment to see this through to the end. God, I pray that they would be faithful to come every week, even if it may be hard, even if work was hard, even if the kids were going crazy. God, I pray that they would commit and that they would show up and that you would meet them right here in this room every single week. God, if there is anyone in here whose life isn't lining up with you, God, I pray that you would quicken their hearts and that you would show them right now how much you love them and how much you desire to draw them closer to you. You've brought them to this place, to this room for a reason. Oh, and you have so much in store for them. And I thank you that those that have been faithful to you for a long time, God, you've got even more than we could ever imagine. God, I thank you that you always have more for us. And I pray that our hearts would be open to you, to whatever you want to do in us. Can you just say that right now? God, I open my heart to you in your own way. Would you just say, my heart is open, God? Whatever you want to do in me this semester, I ask that you would do it. God, let that be our prayer and let us stay committed. When the teachings get challenging, when the teachings hit us where it hurts, when we are challenged, when we are stretched, when we hear things that are kind of painful because they touch areas in our hearts that we didn't want to let go of, that we didn't want to change or alter, God, I pray that you would remind us of this moment, that you have more for us. Oh, God, and I just thank you, and I just pray in faith, and I speak in faith that every person in this room at the sound of my voice, by the end of 12 weeks, they will be more intimate with you. And they will know more about what it means to truly live like you lived, Jesus. It's in your holy, wonderful name we pray. Amen.
I'm talking about. Whew. All right, I'll see y'all next Tuesday. Thank you, Courtney. All right, well, let's get this thing started. That was an audible they called on me, so I got to check my time and make sure. I don't want to run y'all over. What do we got here, 9:30? 9:45? Oh, I love it. All right. What time is it? You know what? I've got a phone right in front of me. We'll just go with that. We'll see where that takes us. All right. So let's get started. This is week one, and today we're going to talk about understanding the different types of prayers. But before we do that, I want to kind of go over what you can expect in Growth Track 2. So basically, who in here has been through Growth Track 1? I'm assuming everybody. All right. Okay, if you're not, we're still glad you're here. Growth Track 2 is more of a building block. Growth Track 1 was a foundation. When you're building the house, like Courtney said, you pour that. Is it going crazy? Is this driving y'all nuts? Okay, well, I'm going to try to keep speaking into it so it records it, okay? Anyway, in Growth Track 1, we built a foundation. And that's what happens in the 12 weeks of Growth Track 1 is they really lay a foundation down in which to build on. Anybody's ever built a house or anything about houses, if you do not build a house on a strong foundation, when the winds blow and the storms come, it's going to blow it over. But when you build upon a strong foundation, then you have structure. Well, that's what we're going to do in Growth 2. We're going to put the building frame up on the foundation y'all received in Grow 1. So what's different about Grow 2? Grow 1 is more of a lecture, preaching style class where you do a lot of listening. Grow 2 is a facilitator type class. And so by the way, I'm Justin Lindsay. If anybody y'all don't know me, I will be teaching all but like two of the classes this year. So if you're stuck with me, I'm sorry. I don't know what you did to deserve it, but you're bad, not mine. It's a facilitator type class, and I'm excited about that because we get to do this. All right? I'm not going to preach to you all the time. I'm going to do that to my wife, okay, and my kids and my friends. We're going to talk through these lessons together. We're going to interact. Y'all are going to have a responsibility in this just as I have a responsibility in this. So you've gone from Grow 1 to Grow 2, so now you're at another level. And when you go to another level of receiving, there's another level of giving in a form of responsibility. So you're going to have some responsibilities in this class. We're going to have homework. No, it's not like the homework you take home from school, but we are going to have some homework to do. But this homework is there to feed you. This homework is there to build you and to strengthen you. This homework is not there to keep you from getting to watch TV at a certain time. And we're going to have what I think is very important is scripture memorization. And why do I think that's important? Because when we begin to memorize scripture, it's like taking arrows and putting them in a quiver. Right? When you go into battle, if you were fixing to get up and go into battle and your weapon of choice was a bow and arrow, would you take one or two arrows with you if you were going into battle? Or would you fill that quiver up? That's the same thing what happens when we memorize scripture, because whether you know it or not, we're in a battle. We have an enemy that's real. He's alive. He's roaring around like a lion trying to kill, steal, and destroy you. But the one that created him and the one that's already defeated him has given us this amazing thing called the Bible. And in that Bible are scriptures that split between bone and marrow, that cut like a two-edged sword. Okay? And it destroys not only our enemy, but it destroys our wrong perceptions. It destroys the doubt in our life. It destroys the fears in our life. It destroys the worry and the anxiety. This is what memorizing scripture do for you. Imagine going into battle and telling your enemy, hang on a second, let me go get some arrows. Not going to work out too good. But consider this. Just consider this for a second when it comes to memorizing scripture, okay? I quoted it a while ago, Philippians 1:6. I started something in you. God started something in you, and he's going to see it completed. If God starts something in us and his promise is to complete it, who can be against us? Nobody. So when the enemy tells you, you know what, you can't do that. You can't finish that class. You can't memorize that scripture. You can't learn and study the word of God. You can't be the husband you're called to be. You can't be the father you're called to be. You can't be the soldier in God's army you're called to be. And you can say, well, hang on a second. And you can pull that arrow out and you can shoot Philippians 1 and 6 at him and says, God started something in me and he's going to see it finished. God created me to be a husband and a father. I'm going to be a husband and a father. I'm not going to quit. He created me to be a servant for him. I'm not going to quit. And it's because of what God's word says. Ephesians 2 and 10 says that you were beautifully and wonderfully made. You are a masterpiece of God. Now you imagine when your child comes home from school or your grandchild and some bully at the school has then told him, you know what, you're overweight. You're ugly, your clothes don't look right, you can't do this, you'll never mount up to this, you'll never do this. And you can look at your kids and you can pull that air out and you can say, no, Ephesians 2 and 10 says that you are a masterpiece to the Most High. That's the power of memorizing Scripture. It's not for our entertainment, it is for your eternal benefit. That's the power, that's the reason why we do it in here. That's the reason why we're going to do it. And every time we come back, so next week when we come back, you'll have a memory verse. When we come back, I'm going to ask someone for a memory verse. Table host, you better know them because I'm going to put you on spot. I'm going to do my best to know them. If not, I'm going to record it and try to lip sync. No. But seriously, I encourage y'all, listen, you're going to get out of this class what you put in it. And that's the truth. And so the things that this process that Pastor Talia and the staff have come up with, if y'all knew the endless amount of hours, I've seen some of it in the time put in to develop this for y'all, it would blow your mind. And all the only thing they're selling is hope, peace, freedom, deliverance, a promise. That's all this church is selling, salvation, relationship. They don't ask for anything else. So I ask y'all, and I petition you, and I challenge you to buy into what we're selling, not what we're selling, but what we're doing here, and watch God change your life. And the reason I can promote it is because if you knew me 5 years ago, there's no way you would think I'd be standing up here. No way possible. What'd you say, Jennifer? Did you just amen that? No way possible. You know what made it possible? This church was one of the main tools that put me on the path to what God called me to do. And you know what? That's available for everybody in here today. Okay? Well, then let's get started. I've yammered about that enough. Whew, I'm glad we don't get out here till 9:30. Ha ha! Spiritual hunger. Who in here is hungry? Spiritually hungry. If whether you know it or not, the reason you're sitting in here is because of one of two reasons. Either your wife made you come or you're spiritually hungry. Either way, you're hungry for something. I want to read this to you. Matthew 5 and 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what? It doesn't say blessed are those who hunger and thirst for more money, for a new job, for new relationship, better boat, better truck. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Righteousness is being like Jesus. Isaiah 55, 1 and 2. He's asking the question. He's asking, he says, hey, is anyone thirsty? He says, come and drink. Even if you have no money, come take your choice of wine or milk. He said, it's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? He says, listen to me and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. What in the world is he talking about when he's talking about this milk and this wine and this fine food? Is he talking about steak? Because I love me some steak. Is he talking about Borden's whole milk? No. He's talking about spiritual food. He's talking about the bread of life. He is talking about drinking a water that you'll never thirst again. He's talking about relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about. Because if anybody in here has ever eaten a steak, you know it costs money, right? They don't just give milk away at the store. But the food he's talking about, he says, you can come get this even if you have no money. Because the food God's talking about, what he offers us, that's eternal. It doesn't cost us anything. It gives us everything. That's what Isaiah's talking about right here. And that's so powerful. And guess what? It's available to every one of us. It's available to all of us. Has anybody in here ever sat down at dinner and eat and walked away and in 2 hours? Who in here likes Chinese food? Tell me what happens an hour after you eat Chinese food. You hangry. I'm talking, not hungry, you hungry. You eat 3 plates at the buffet. You get home, you're like, dang, I'm hungry. When you do what? Yeah, that's right. Eat a Snickers on the way home. The food we're talking about in here, it won't do that to you. You pull up to this buffet, you can eat all you want, buddy. You can drink all you want. You'll stay full. I can't begin to tell you what this spiritual food and water does for you, but I'm going to dang sure do my best to live it out. And that's what I want for everybody in here. That's what I want for me. I want some more. I want some more. Not Chinese food. That stuff tears me up. Woo, thank you, Lord. Okay. God gives us so much to eat. How do we give God some food? Say it again. What else? Come on, this side. How do we give food? What does the word say about what does God eat? What is it a sweet aroma to God? Say that again, Keith. That's right. Numbers 28:1-2. Listen, it says, the Lord said to Moses, give these instructions to the people of Israel. The offerings you present as special gifts are a pleasing aroma to me. He says, they are my food. What's our offering? Us. We are his offering. That's all we got to do is give God us. We give ourselves to our job, to our families, to our bosses. We give them to our debt. We give them to our bank account. We give them to Uncle Sam. We give us to everybody. We never have enough left over for God. Has Uncle Sam ever told you you're like a sweet aroma to me? Has your boss ever come and says, you're my food? I'm not saying I go to work, but there are priorities. And when we make an offering to God of ourselves first, that's a sweet aroma to him. That's what he desires from us. Hello. Yes, Lord. That was God telling you, you smell good, Nicole. He said, you be that sweet aroma today, sister. Told y'all we was going to have fun in here. So what can we be for God and how? We just talked about our offering, our time, our talent, our treasures, and our testimony. Our time, our talent, our treasures. Uh-oh, won't talk about that at church. He's talking about your money. No, I'm sorry. He's talking about his money that he lets you have. And our testimony. You know what the greatest witness tool that you have? Your testimony. I'm going to try to use my talents. I'm trying out for the worship team. And I can't sing a lick. That was a joke, by the way. I will not be singing. Pastor Cody told me I wouldn't even welcome on the stage. Our time, talent, treasures, and testimony. That's what we offer God. And when we do, His Word says it's a sweet aroma to Him. So let's look at the spiritual inventory. Go to that slide. Then the next one, the spiritual inventory slide. Spiritual hunger. Okay, this one says spiritual hunger. In your book, there's two questions there. I want you to answer those. What do I hunger for the most? And it's spiritually speaking. And look, this is for you. This is, you write this. This is for you. And hey, be honest with yourself. If you can't be honest with yourself, who can you be honest with? Be honest with yourself. It doesn't matter where you're at. What are you hungry for spiritually? And then what junk food can I abstain from during this Growth Track 2 semester so that my hunger can be satisfied with the right things? What things in my life can I get rid of during this 12-week process that I may grow closer to Christ? That's what it's asking. You know what mine is? Netflix. I love Netflix. And I love, my wife turned me on to Amazon Prime. And there's a show on there called The Cowboy Way, and I used to be a cowboy. And I love watching it, making fun of them because they're not cowboys. But I'm going to have to give it up during this process. You want to know why? I watch it 3 or 4 hours a day at work because I'm the boss. I'm going to have to give it up so I can spend more time in the Word with God. And when God comes, I was like, come on, God, I'm almost done with this season. He said, you can start it back in 12 weeks. What junk food can you abstain from? I want to give y'all just a couple minutes on that, and then we'll move into the lesson. All right, about one more minute, and we'll get back rolling. All right, y'all got it? Everybody done? We good? We good? All right. All right, guys, let's we didn't even start the lesson yet, by the way. We're just getting to the lesson. All right, praise God. So the reason why Grow Track 2 was kind of created was to help fulfill the mission of Timber Creek. What's Timber Creek's mission? Our God-given, that's what Timber Creek's mission is, okay, is God's given potential for each and every one of you. And listen, I know some of you in here, and there's some of y'all don't know, but I can tell you, I've spent lots of time in prayer over this class, and there is some potential. And I'm not talking about potential failures. I'm talking about potential leaders, game changers. I'm talking about potential people that changes the course and the life of others in this church, in this community, in your families, in your home, that reside in here. God needs one thing, a willing vessel. That's it. He does the rest. I promise. And if you're willing to be that vessel, your God-given potential will show. And it will change your life and everybody's life around you. That's what Jesus did. Jesus said we're created in his image. Jesus changed everybody that was around. Even when he wasn't performing miracles, he changed people just by talking to them. We can change people's life through our God-given potential. And it starts tonight. So let's talk about the purpose of prayer. Because let me tell you, I am a firm believer in prayer because, buddy, I've had to use it. It has gotten me through some times, Jack. I promise you, I haven't always been this good-looking debonair. Yeah, I have too. No, I'm going to lie to you. I've always been good-looking and debonair. Let's go and be honest. Tell them about me. I've been through some tough times in my life. I was an addict. I'm not proud of it, but I was. It's my story. And another thing, I'm going to go ahead and put this disclaimer out there. I am transparent as they come, and I'm probably going to share some things with you that you don't want to know, but that's okay. But I want you to know what God's done in my life for me. That's my testimony. I was an addict for almost 12 years, not to alcohol, guys, to hard drugs. Almost everybody knows our story. I divorced my wife 4 years ago, that lady there. We full-blown divorced. Living in two separate houses, God's restored us, me and my family. God did that, okay? My dad was married multiple times. I buried the woman I called my mom, I buried her, never got over it. Last August was the first time I talked to my real mom in 15 years. I didn't even know if she was alive. She never met my kids until last August, okay? I've been, and this isn't a pity party, I've been through some times. I've been through some good times and some bad times. You don't know what? Only thing got me through it was prayer. And you know what I learned in all of that was the simplicity of prayer moves mountains. And that's what I want to talk about. The title is called The Purpose of Prayer. But listen, there's three purposes. I'm going to give you all three of them. You can write them down so I can talk to you. The purpose of prayer, number one, is to talk and connect with God. Number two is to hear what he has to say. And number three is to receive what you need from him. Now let's go back to number one. Listen, if there's anything you get from this, the purpose of prayer is to talk to God. The number one purpose of prayer is not for you to get what you want. I learned that the hard way because I prayed the wrong way because all I prayed about was what I thought I needed. His word doesn't back that up. The very first thing is to talk and connect with God. Because listen, if we're not connected to God, that means we're what? If you're not, say it loud. Say it again. All right. What is the enemy's greatest tool? Disconnect you, separation. Prayer is so that we can talk and connect to God. We can't fill those quivers up if we're not connected to the source. We got to be connected to the power source, and prayer does that. And we have overcomplicated prayer. I want you to look at the four elements: to talk and connect, to hear, and to receive. All that is a conversation. An ideal conversation when me and my wife are talking, when I turn the TV off and pay attention, is to talk and connect, is to hear what she has to say and what I have to say, and to receive what we need from each other. That's a conversation. That's why we have conversations. Well, if that's why we have conversations, that's basically what a prayer is, a conversation with God. I met a girl 2 weeks ago in the foyer. And I'll tell you what we're dealing with, people. And hey, when I tell you that you can change someone's life and that this is stuff's important, because you have to know this, is because you're going to encounter people like this. You know what she asked me? She said, are my prayers no good if I don't say in Jesus' name at the end? And she said, are my prayers, she said, when you start your prayer, she said, do you say, dear Heavenly Father, or what am I supposed to say at the beginning? Somebody has taught her that prayer is more than a conversation with God. She was worried for years about her prayers to the point where she quit praying because she didn't think she knew how to do it. That's a tool from the enemy. And you're going to experience those type of people in your life. So we need to understand the purpose of prayer is to talk and connect with God, to hear what He has to say. There's two types of prayers. There's four types of prayers, but there's two types of those four types. There's verbal and silent. Some of my most powerful moments when I hear God the loudest is when I shut this big mouth and listen. When I'm driving to work in the morning and the radio's off and nothing's going on and all I got to do is whisper His name and He shows up and He speaks to me. And that's all I need. Because God knows what I need to get through that day. He's already made a way for me. I don't need to sit there and ask Him over and over, God, take care of this. God, take care of this. God, take care of this. Because He already has. Because I have Him. What I truly want in the midst of my tough times is just to connect with my Father. That's what we all want. Because when the peace that surpasses all understanding through the Holy Spirit falls on you, and the presence of God fills you in those quiet times, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It renews you. That's what we desire. That's what we're looking for, is the presence of God. And when we quieten ourselves down and quieten our mind, and we get out of the way, man, God can do some miraculous things. But it's also to receive what you need from Him, not what you want from Him. What you need from Him. He created you. So He knows what you need more than you do. So it is to receive what you need from Him. Mark 11 and 24 says, for this reason I am telling you, whatever things you ask for prayer in accordance with God's will. I want to stop right there. It doesn't say in accordance to Justin's will and your will. When we're praying, we have to, the model prayer, I won't go into that, but the model prayer talks about thy will be done. When we see God's will, that's when we can knock and He'll answer. That's when we can seek and we'll find. That's when we can ask and it will be given. Because if God always give us our will, whoo, y'all be worse off than me. And that ain't good. James 4, 2 through 10. I got to go. You do not have because you do not ask it of God. You ask God for something and do not receive it. Listen to this. Because you ask with wrong motives, out of selfishness or with an unrighteous agenda, so that when you get what you want, you may spend it on your own desires. It says, come close to God with a contrite heart. Contrite means apologetic, okay? It means remorseful for sin. It means to come God humble. That's what the word contrite means. And it says, and He will come close to you. It's how we come to God in prayer. When my kids run up in my house, like a while ago, my five-year-old ran up on me and told me, I'm going to ride a pony for my birthday. Not now, you ain't. But imagine she come in there and she said, Daddy, if we're able and it's within your ability and it won't harm me, can I ride a pony for my birthday? Responds are completely different. We do is run up into God and say, God, I need this, 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 and this. Amen. And then get mad when we don't get it. Because we're just like my five-year-old child. But when we come to God and say, God, your will for my life. What do you see that's best for me? Because you created me. You blew your breath into my lungs. You know me better than I know myself. What do you see that I need the most? When we begin to take our will out of the way and line it up with God's will and begin to seek God's will, that's when mountains begin to move. We're over here pushing on the wrong mountain the wrong way. And God said, if you'll just follow me, seek my will, I've already moved that mountain. You're trying to go over a mountain, I've already moved. But now we want to push and push because that's what we want. This last, drop down to the quote. I love this quote from Dutch Sheets. It says, I've become convinced that in some situations, they, talking about our prayers, actually release cumulative amounts of God's power until enough has been released to accomplish His will. That tells me to keep on praying. That tells me to keep on seeking. That tells me to keep on keeping on. When we are sending up prayers and are sending down small amounts of God's will until it happens, that means pray without ceasing. We're going to do some group work real quick, okay? We're going to do this as a class real quick. The key scripture here, I'm going to read this. Hey, listen to me. Y'all have to hear this scripture because we're going to do something. We're fixing to go through this. It says, 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. This is Paul writing to Timothy regarding his ministry in Ephesus, and he's given instructions on the responsibilities on certain group leaders of the church, okay? So that's, you got to look at that. I'm telling you, there are leaders in here, okay? I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayer, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all of those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Is this passage, is it a question? What is this passage? That's the first question. Look at that. Is it a passage of Scripture? Is it asking the question? Is it giving a suggestion? Or is it Scripture giving instructions? Exactly. And why is that important? Somebody said it right there. Who said that? Huh? Thank you. It also affects the way we interpret the passage or whatever when he gives instructions. When Paul's instructing you to do something, I'd be willing to listen to Paul. He's pretty tight with Jesus. He kind of knew what he wanted. So it's not a suggestion. It's not saying, hey, if you want to do this, he's saying, do this. And this is the result. Number two, what are the four kinds of prayers mentioned in this scripture? The first one's petition. Then what? That's right. Say it out loud. Petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving. We're going to go over those in just a second. Number three, who is Paul asking Timothy to pray for in this specific way? There you go. All people. He's saying this for everybody. We're praying for everybody, even the kings, all the authorities, everybody. And number four, what is the result of praying in these specific ways, and why is this so important? What is the result of this scripture? When we pray, like he's saying, what is the result? When you're reading scripture, when it says and when it says but, that's a transition. I want to show you another transition. That we. What does it say after that? That we may what? In what? In what kind of godliness and holiness? In all godliness and holiness. So basically, this is a scripture of instructions that's saying pray petition prayers, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings for everybody, for kings and all authorities, so that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. That's what Paul's telling Timothy to do. That's what Paul's telling Timothy that he needs to tell the church of Ephesus. This is what you got to do. All right? If we want this peace, we got to pray for everybody. This is for everybody. And why do we talk about that? Because it's important to know how to interpret the scriptures. And it's important to know, to see that when we're instructed to pray a certain way, that we need to pray a certain way. And that's what that's doing, is Paul is saying, hey, y'all go do this, and this is the result. When the Bible tells you to do something, and this is the result, if you'll do it, you'll get the result. All right, I got to hurry. I'm sorry. I'm going to get y'all out of here. We're going to go through this pretty quick. There's four kinds of prayers. Number one, supplication. This is a humble and earnest petition. And there is the most beautiful example of it in the Bible. Luke 22:39-44. And the definition of earnestness is serious in intention, purpose, or effort. Sincerely zealous and earnest work, showing depth and sincerity of feeling. Listen to this. Luke 22:39-44. This is Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane before he goes to the cross. And he's praying to God. Listen to what he says. He says, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed. Listen, he says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Listen to this next part. He knows he's fixing to die. He knows he's fixing to just be shredded for us. He says, not my will, but your will be done. That's Jesus praying for God's will. And in being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and listen, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. That's an earnest prayer. That's when you're dug in. That's when you're on your knees, and that's when you're saying, God, if there's any other way to do what I'm dealing with, if there's any other way to get through this financial situation, to get through this health situation, to get through this relationship, please let this pass. But if not, your will be done. And why? Because I know you are with me. That's the reason why Jesus was able to pray that prayer. It's because he knew his Father was with him. Even to the grave, he knew his Father was with him. Number two is prayer. This is prayer. This is us waking up in the mornings, going to bed at night, driving to work, when that co-worker's driving us crazy, when our kids or our spouse are driving us crazy. This is just prayer. That's what number two is. This is when we're praising God. This is when we're thanking God. And this is just this is when we're just talking to God in general form of prayer. Number three, this is my favorite. Thanksgiving or giving of thanks. The act of giving thanks, grateful acknowledgement of benefits, of favors, especially to God, an expression of thanks. Hey, when I start any prayer I start, I thank God no matter what. Because, man, if you're here tonight and you're breathing, it's because of God. God has, no matter what you're going through, I promise you, there's reason to thank God. And when my kids run into my house and they thank me before they ask me, man, they've got my attention. Same thing works. I know. You study the model prayer. It says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It means how holy. He's praising the Father. When you start off with praising God, I know it lights his old ears up. And he's like, oh, there's my son. There's my daughter. There's Nicole. There's Delight. I love your name. I love that. There's Micah. There's Carrie. There's Carrie. Oh, we got two Carries. Hey. There's Honey. Our praise just awakens the heavens when we begin to praise God. And when you can wake up in those tough times, honey, when it don't look real good, on anniversaries that are tough, and say, you know what, God, thank you. Thank you for today. You told me this morning, when you walked in today, I said, honey, how are you? You said, I am blessed. That's praise. That's prayer, guys. Whether you know or not. And then the last one is intercession. It's an interposing or pleading on behalf of another person, a prayer to God on behalf of another. Listen, it's battling for someone else, buddy. It's standing in the gap for a friend. It's standing in the gap for a family member. Okay? And listen, when you do intercessory prayer and you're standing in the gap for that friend, guess who's standing in that gap with you? That's right. And who else would you rather have you in a battle when a friend's down and a friend's out and they're lost and they're hurting and that family, even that family member, there was two people that we prayed for tonight that doesn't have salvation. Intercessory prayer right there changes that. That's you standing in the gap for that person saying, God, by your hand, I don't ask, I declare your salvation over these people. That's intercessory prayer. They don't know how to pray. They don't know Jesus. They don't know nothing about him. That's the reason why if they ever knew him, they'd desire salvation. You may be the only thing that stands in the gap for them to receive salvation. That's intercessory prayer. Thanksgiving prayer is thanking God for saving them. There's two prayers in one. And if you really get serious about it and you really want to see them saved, you'll get down on your knees in a powerful position at the foot of the cross and begin to plead God like Jesus did in the garden, and then you'll see mountains move. Then you'll see mountains move. You want your loved one saved? Intercessory prayer. You want healing? Intercessory and thanksgiving prayer. You want things to change in people's life? Intercessory prayer. And listen, don't be too prideful to ask for it. If you're struggling and you need prayer, that's what this church is for. And I promise you, Courtney, if I'm lying, I'm dying. If I'm not lying, she, on Tuesdays, what do? Y'all pray by name for these people, don't you? By name. You know how many people go to church here? It's not just this corporate prayer. They pray for these people by name. That's what kind of church you get to be a part of. That's a privilege. It's a privilege to be here. That's intercessory prayer. You want to know why you see people's lives change in this church? It's because we have a staff that prays for them. And that's the truth. We have a pastor that loves people almost to a fault. That's intercessory prayer. That's the power of prayer, right there. You want to see things move and change in your life? There's four ways right there that you can begin to change your life and the people's around you right there. Last quote, and I'm going to wrap up. God's giving is inseparably connected with our asking. Only by intercession prayer can that power be brought down from heaven, which will enable the church to conquer the world. Andrew Murray. I don't know about you, but I want to be part of that. My part is prayer. It's praying for the lost. It's praying for the next person. One thing I do on the way to work every morning is I ask God, God, put somebody in my path that I can share your word with. Most of the time he does. But that prayer opens up God's way for me to share my testimony, and that may be the very testimony that saves someone's life for eternity. Eternity, guys. We're talking about eternal stuff here, not temporal stuff. Okay, I'm done. Group work. We're going to go through this a little quicker than I thought. Okay, at your tables. James, if you want to come on up. Come on up, buddy. Oh, by the way, everybody, James Copeland. He is going to be the coach over Grow 2. Hey, he's done an outstanding job. I'm going to tell you what. I've been working with this guy for about 2 years. And 2 years ago, he's about like me. But I'm going to tell you what, God's done a work in this man's life right here. And the reason he's standing right now is because I watched James say, you know what, I'll be a willing vessel. And God is using this man right here to change people's lives all throughout this church. And he is a Grow 2 coach. And you know what, he's going to do a great job this semester. Group work. Here we go. At your table. Table host, Jennifer, you got to do this. If you look at that chart, different types of prayers, right? What I want you to do is select one type of prayer and give an example of a time you prayed that in a specific way. Write the results down, and then we'll share your experience with your group, and we'll do that for about 5 minutes.